During the week, we've been discussing the draft plan, the latest version of the draft plan to the Murray-Darling Basin. We spoke earlier in the week to the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill. He's not happy. We also spoke with Victoria's Water Minister, Peter Walsh. He says Victoria will not support the latest draft plan because it sounds the death knell for many communities in northern Victoria. The minister said the proposed return of 2,750 gigalitres of water to the environment, as outlined in the latest draft, is more than enough to ensure the survival of the Lower Lakes and the Coorong.
They have recovered remarkably. So we went through a very, very severe drought, not dissimilar to the Federation drought and not dissimilar to the Second World War drought. The assets of the Murray-Darling Basin have recovered remarkably with the return of rain and floods, and that's what happens. The Australian climate is made up of droughts and floods, and we'll continue to have those.
So the salinity issues South Australians have been speaking about for decades, you just think they're a product of cyclical drought?
Well, the salinity issues are recovering with the return of water, and there is things that South Australia can do that would assist their own solutions that they seem to always want to blame the upriver states. There is about how you manage the barrages, about how you manage the Coorong. Some of those issues are products of what's happened in South Australia, not products of what's happened in the upriver states.
Victoria's Water Minister Peter Walsh taking it up to South Australia there. Professor David Payton from the University of Adelaide has been studying the Coorong for nigh on 30 years. He says the wetland at the end of the river is the barometer, effectively, for assessing the health of the entire Murray-Darling Basin. David Payton is actually in Victoria today. He'll be speaking at Deakin University on the future of the Coorong. David Payton, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Is the Coorong healthy again after a couple of years of strong rain?
Absolutely not. In fact, it's probably a key component of it. It's really not even recovered. In fact, since the water came back, it's gone backwards. This is an aquatic plant that lives within the Coorong water bodies, and it used to be widespread throughout the South Lagoon. This is a 50-kilometre length of this system, and over the last decade, it has disappeared from the length of that Coorong region, and with the flows coming back and the salinities being set, you might say this plant should bounce back. It's an annual plant. It didn't bounce back because it had no propagule bank, no seeds left within the system. They'd been exhausted. And in fact, the key issue here is not so much salinity, but water levels.
Things must have improved a little, though. The 2 years of above-average rains, salinity levels are down in the Lower Lakes and Coorong, according to the Victorian minister, who says he was there just a couple of weeks ago. Are things better than they were?
They certainly are when you talk about the animals which live in with the water column. But let me just put this plant in perspective for you. It's the nature of the food chains for this system. And it'll be a little bit like, and these plants are below the water. So the minister, you know, and Burke and Knowles and so forth all need to actually put their head under the water to see the changes. If this was a plant that lived above the waterline, like a river redgum, you'd be looking at a 50-kilometre system that had lost all of its actual plant material. Now, the key here is that even with all that water coming down, and that water coming down the last 2 years is actually higher than what might be the average flows you would get within the system under the new plans of 2,750 gigalitres. What's not taken into account inside the planning is that it's the timing of when this water arrives that's important. So for Rupia tuberosa, the key is you've got to have good flows and high flows going through the mouth during spring. And believe it or not, in last spring, in October 2011, they actually closed most of the barrages, and so the water levels have dropped. So any recovery that started for this plant was suddenly eliminated because these plants were left high and dry. And when they're left out of the water, no aquatic plant survives.
So does that mean you agree to some extent with those comments we heard there being made from Peter Walsh, the Victorian State Minister, that part of the problems in the Coorong are South Australia's making because they're mismanaging the Coorong and those barrages?
The only way of managing the actual water levels during spring that are available actually to have flows going through the mouth. This puts a plug of fresh water at the top, which also dampens the increasing salinities if you don't have that, but it also lifts the water levels within the Coorong as a whole. And that's the critical issue to deliver for a healthy Coorong system.
Is that what we're meant to be getting to, some kind of consistent level of water coming, environmental flow from the Murray-Darling Draft Basin Plan? What's your assessment of the plan and this the amount suggested be put back, 2,750 gigalitre, into the river in an average year? Would that do it?
In an average year, that would fix the salinity issues. It's not going to fix the water level issues. The water level issues are much more difficult to provide. I think the modelling that's been done suggests that something like 35-38% of years, even with the 2,750 gigalitres, the average, would still be insufficient flows to actually look after the needs of this annual plant that needs to be covered by water through spring.
Is this part of the problem here, David, that we're talking about how much water to be put back into the river for the environmental flows, for the health of a river, but we actually don't really know or all agree what we're talking about here is the benchmark? One of the big problems with the plan, it doesn't define what a healthy river is.
That's exactly right, Fran. And look, I, as a scientist, I'd be happy to say this is how we define a healthy river. This is what we wish to achieve. It might be something below that, but no one's actually defined that. So even if we went with an adaptive management program going forward, and I think one needs to have that rather than locking in a volume, one hasn't defined how you're going to measure whether you're meeting those environmental health targets, because there's nothing written down to say, and if we're below the target, you'd increase the flows. If you're above the target or have got to the target, you might better not take back as much. We haven't even set any of that out so people can see what's required.
Why haven't we?
I think it's because it's a little bit hard to do, and it's because we don't think about managing this over the long term. We want to have security for the next 3 to 5 years. Environments don't work like that. Environments work over long periods of time, and I think the issue is that we actually haven't invested enough in actually understanding the environmental requirements of the river systems. We do it very simply by what's required to maintain water quality. We don't think about all the other requirements, the timing of the flows, the quantity of water that's needed to get those flows, the water levels and so forth, if you're serious about looking after a healthy river system for future generations.
So just briefly for you, it's not all about a number, but nevertheless, if we are entrenching a number, is 2,750 gigalitres enough?
If you want a healthy river, it is not enough.
David Payton, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Professor David Payton from the School of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Adelaide. As I said, he's been studying the health of the Coorong for 30 years now.